We start today with news about the recapture of Mexican drug kingpin Joaquin El Chapo Guzman. Shorty had escaped from jail through a network of secret tunnels last summer. Then on Friday, we heard he had been nabbed again. An interview he gave to actor Sean Penn may or may not have helped Mexican police track him down. More on that in a moment. Meantime, Washington is trying to get El Chapo extradited so that he can stand trial here on a number of drugs charges. Sylvia Longmire is an analyst on drug trafficking and border violence. What is the latest on the extradition?
Well, from what we're hearing, Mexican government has agreed to the United States government's request to extradite El Chapo. However, they're saying that it could take as much as 6 months to a year in order for him to actually reach the United States.
Yeah, I was wondering that, does the Mexican government actually kind of see extradition to the U.S. as maybe a form of insurance to keep him from escaping again?
Absolutely. And of course, it's bad enough of an embarrassment that he escaped the last time that they were able to apprehend him. It's also embarrassing that the Mexican government has to say the only way that we can keep control of this notorious drug lord is by sending him to another country. They, of course, want to prevent any further humiliation by preventing him from escaping a third time. But yeah, that's really the only way that they can assure almost 100% that he's not going to escape again is by sending him north of the border.
Why does the United States want him, and what would be the charges?
It would be under several drug trafficking charges, and I haven't looked at the detailed list yet, but I'm sure that, you know, money laundering and a whole host of other charges is probably on the list for all those districts that have indicted him. The biggest benefit is his intelligence value, information they can provide to him about either members of his own cartel or members of rival cartels, operations, how the drugs are moved across the border, etc. And hopefully the United States government will be more willing to share that kind of intelligence information with the Mexican government in exchange for them agreeing to the extradition.
Would there be murder charges on the docket?
Unless El Chapo actually committed or ordered a murder in the United States, I'm not sure how that works. I'm sure there are murder charges against him in Mexico. But as far as how they will be indicting him, I believe it's only going to be on drug trafficking charges. If there are any homicide charges in there, part of the extradition agreement is that they cannot seek any capital punishment in the United States, and they also can't have any kind of imprisonment length for certain, longer than a certain amount of time is how that treaty works.
Now, apparently, Guzman's lawyers are already challenging the request for extradition on grounds of defending national sovereignty. Do they have much chance of doing anything other than just slowing down the extradition process?
No, they really don't. I was reading today that there's really no chance that any of those appeals are going to be approved, and they haven't in past for kingpins that have been extradited and are now residing in federal prisons in the United States. But by buying that time, that gives his people enough of an opportunity to perhaps try to plan another escape, which is obviously the biggest concern.
Yeah. Now, the last time Guzman was arrested, the Mexican authorities said they'd only consider extradition after he served time in Mexico, like in 300 to 400 years.
Right, right.
What do you think accounts for this change of heart?
Definitely the escape. I think the escape had everything to do with it. And the fact that President Peña Nieto was so confident in his statement that we're going to be able to take care of this, we're going to be able to keep him in prison. When that didn't happen, there's no chance that the administration could survive another humiliation like that. So I think that's really the biggest factor.
So how soon could we see El Chapo being taken north to the United States, do you think?
I have to agree. When Mexico says that it's going to be at least 6 months to a year, you take a look at previous extradition attempts, most notably Edgar Labarbie Valdez Villarreal. He was arrested back in 2010, and he wasn't extradited until last year. I'm not saying that it's going to take 5 years for El Chapo, but Mexico likes to take its time. It's in their best interest to get him to the United States as quickly as possible, but things tend to move slowly in Mexico when the justice system is involved.
Author, analyst, and former Air Force Special Agent Sylvia Longmire. One of the more intriguing wrinkles in El Chapo's latest capture, the fact that he met with American actor Sean Penn in recent months. Penn's account was published over the weekend by Rolling Stone magazine. A Mexican actress named Kate Del Castillo reportedly helped arrange the meeting. The New York Times' Elizabeth Malkin is in Mexico City.
Kate Del Castillo worked many years in Mexico as an actress in telenovelas. Those are the famous weepy soap operas. But she became very famous sort of all over the Spanish-speaking world in a telenovela called La Reina del Sur. And it was the story, in fact, of a drug queenpin from the state of Sinaloa. It was based on a novel by a Spanish novelist.
Is that significant in some way to her connecting Sean Penn to El Chapo Guzman?
Well, it's hard to know what El Chapo Guzman's TV watching habits are. He got in touch with Kate Del Castillo through intermediaries after she wrote a note on Twitter to him. She addressed Chapo Guzman directly. It's hard to say if it's really a question of admiration. In the note, she said, "Wouldn't it be good if, you know, rather than trafficking in drugs, you trafficked for the good of people? And you fed street children and you burned down brothels. You know, why don't you traffic in good, not drugs?" And it was apparently, according to Sean Penn's story, after that, that through intermediaries, El Chapo got in touch with her. This connection continued when he was jailed in 2014, when the idea of making a movie emerged and he wanted her. So, as we all know, El Chapo has had a number of wives and many other connections. So he was clearly quite taken with her.
Well, whether Ms. Castillo admires El Chapo or not, she did once famously say that she would trust El Chapo before the Mexican government. And I gather that's a feeling, that's a sentiment that's fairly widely held, or maybe surprisingly widely held. What does that all suggest?
Let's put it this way. If Mexicans don't trust the government, and many people do not, that doesn't mean that they trust El Chapo. It means that there is a certain fascination with the outlaw in Mexico, as in many other countries, and that El Chapo is seen as somebody who just continues until Friday to evade capture. And there's a certain admiration for that. I don't think we should be confused about how brutal, how violent he is, the damage that's been done in Mexico by cartels. I think we should never lose sight of that.
I mean, this idea that the actress, Ms. Del Castillo, pushed, the campaign of doing good, does somebody like El Chapo, was he feeding children?
You know, a lot of drug traffickers here are known to hand out favors, to give out money, to give out gifts, to do parties, to endow churches. I mean, they have that sort of presence. But the idea that they sort of constitute an alternative development program, I think that would be taking it a bit far.
It kind of sounds a bit like ISIS. They kill people, but they're also bringing some services to, shall we say, the people they oversee. Would you go so far as to say in Mexico that El Chapo is seen as a kind of Robin Hood, or it's not even that?
No, no. I think there may be people who admire him in his own state, and he's a mythical figure because of his escapes. But this is a country that's very weary of deaths. I think that if you went to Ciudad Juarez, which at one point was the most murderous city in the world, I don't think there'd be a lot of admiration there.
That was Elizabeth Malkin in Mexico City for the New York Times there. Sean Penn's interview with El Chapo and his article in Rolling Stone have annoyed journalists who normally cover Mexico and the drug war. Journalists like Alfredo Corchado, Mexico correspondent for the Dallas Morning News. Alfredo, you tweeted this: to describe Chapo-Sean Penn meeting as an interview is an epic insult to journalists who died in the name of truth. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, at first, you know, I think like a lot of people, I was fascinated by the idea that the most sought-after interview, the man who we all wanted to talk to, had spoken. And then I read through it, and the more I thought about it, the memory of so many colleagues in Mexico, so many people who have died, you know, trying to search for truth, it just really rubbed me the wrong way. There was no accountability, no journalism. I mean, we have to remember that in the last 10 years or so, more than 120,000 have been killed or disappeared. I mean, these are people throughout the country. More than 100 journalists have been killed. And, you know, there's no questions. And then I read about the conditions. You know, you had to send a story for pre-approval. There were no follow-up questions. There was no probing, no challenging. I mean, there were so many questions that I thought, you know, could have been answered. And what really bothered me the most was the idea that here we are trying to a media publication trying to just add to this man's myth and not really get to any kind of accountability. Who's ordering the killing? I mean, who's on the take? Names? Where's the corruption coming from, etc.? And I just thought it was a really wasted opportunity.
I know you've received death threats yourself, Alfredo. Is it possible that some of your colleagues' killings were ordered by El Chapo?
It's possible. I mean, that's one of the questions, you know, that I think a lot of us want to know. I mean, who ordered what and why? But certainly journalists in regions that the Sinaloa cartel controls have been killed, have vanished, disappear, threaten, and again, no accountability, no protection from the government. No one really talks about it. I mean, 95% impunity rate in Mexico. That means that less than 5% of all cases are ever solved, if at all.
And typically, what are the reasons for journalists getting killed?
Follow the money. People who know too much, people who ask the wrong questions, people who may have information. Or people who do not agree to censor themselves.
Right.
Those are the reasons.
I mean, the deal with Sean Penn with the El Chapo interview allegedly was that El Chapo wanted to see the final edit before Rolling Stone printed the article. Have you ever requested an interview with El Chapo?
Not El Chapo, but I mean, I have talked to people close to other cartel leaders in the past. And my only two concerns are, you know, can they guarantee my protection? Can I do an interview and come back and no strings attached?
Hmm.
I've never gotten an answer back, or it's been vague. So no, I mean, you know, some people may say, well, you're just jealous that you didn't get the interview. You know, yeah, we all want to get that interview, but not under those conditions.
You know, I think it's safe to say from what I've learned today, even with the recapture of El Chapo, the drugs will continue, the drug war will continue. How will the journalists go on with this deadly slog? Which way forward now, do you think?
I think we just keep plowing away. We keep trying to find truth. We keep trying to shine the light. And we keep hoping that somehow the Mexican government will find a way to protect storytellers, journalists, so that societies or regions that are now living in silence can finally begin to get some valid information, that there is some kind of a journalistic accountability.
Alfredo Corchado is Mexico correspondent for the Dallas Morning News and also now director of the Borderlands program at the Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State University. Alfredo, thank you very much.
Mike, always a pleasure. Thank you.
This is The World.